If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to another expert episode of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today's guest is Rachel D'Alto. She is a communication and relatability expert. She is the author of the book Relatable: How to Connect with Anyone, Anywhere, Even if It Scares You. She is also Match Group's Chief Connection Officer. She has appeared as an expert on Lifetime's Married at First Sight, TLC's Kate Plus Date, and over 200 national media outlets. And in this episode, we talk about connection. We talk about what are some of the biggest reasons communication and connection is the cause of relationships not working out. We talk about how to find connection when you're going through a breakup, when it feels like the single most important connection you've ever had has been taken away. We talk about finding connection again through dating. And we talk a lot about single moms. This is a area of focus that she has really become an expert in, but the advantage that single moms have when it comes to dating and how to approach that and how to realize that you have, not that you have baggage, but that you have up-leveled in what you're looking for and what you want out of a relationship. So this was a really great conversation. Very excited that she is talking about this, because I know that anyone listening who is a single mom who wants to date again, it can feel very scary. So here is Rachel. Welcome, Rachel, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Very excited to dive into a couple different topics today, but I've been really looking forward to this interview. So very happy to have you on.
Yeah, great to be here. Lots of fun things to talk about.
Yeah. I always love asking experts how they ended up in their realm of expertise. I just think, and I think in your case, your story like has little twisties and turns. So would love to hear what drew you to this area of connection.
Yeah, it is very twisty and turny. So I was a lawyer way back in the day. And then I came up with an idea for a dating concept. This is almost 15 years ago. Oh my gosh. Launched it. It didn't work, but it led me to television. And so I started going on TV, on the TV, on the television to talk about the company. And then the producers were like, well, come back and give advice. And I'm like, wait, you're going to do my hair and makeup? I'm coming back. And so yeah. I started doing television around dating and relationships that led me to getting the role on Married at First Sight as an expert and a couple other shows, and then doing more coaching. I went back and got a master's in psychology just because I really wanted to understand the human psyche a little bit better. And then I started working with the Match Group about 5 years ago. And now, as you know, I work with STIR as one of their experts as well. And so it was, yeah, it wasn't a normal trajectory. So
What led you to be interested in, I just feel like, I mean, maybe it's because I'm so deeply rooted in breakups, but to me, dating is a very scary topic for me. Like, I could just never claim to be a dating expert. What drew you to this interest in dating? Because I feel like it's such a specific thing that when people are very interested in helping people with dating.
Yeah, I love the power of connection. And that at the end of the day, I do a lot of corporate speaking as well, but it's all about the power of connection. And I truly, truly believe we are all put on this earth to connect with people. We're biologically programmed to do so. Our brains are wired for it. And so for me, any element along that way, whether it's dating, relationships, or even just professional, personal connections are so important. And so allowing people to have that support along the way to have better connections, to me, we're just helping people live better lives. And that the appeal.
Yeah. And I feel like the research is really catching up with that, with connection being such an important factor in longevity and even your physical health as you age. And I mean, from so many podcasts I've been listening to lately, we're in this epidemic of not connecting. So I think it's such an important topic to be in the middle of.
Yeah, there was a huge study that came, I believe it was out of Harvard, and it was hundreds of years that they studied this community. And they found that really what made the community healthier and happier was all of their relationships. And so we're seeing how important it is. And you're right, we have this, there's an epidemic of loneliness. You know, I think it's 1 in 3 adults consider themselves to be very lonely. And to me, when that stands in the face of, if your entire purpose of being on this planet is to connect and you're lonely, like, we got to do something. Yeah. This needs to shift.
Yeah. So the beginning of our interview, just because you are such an expert in this realm and so many people are coming out of relationships that did not work out.
Sure.
Can you talk about, in your scope of connection and communication, what are some of the biggest things that you see lead to relationships not working out?
Yeah, well, I think there's
it's such a big question.
I was like, scroll TikTok and you'll have about 15 different ideas within a minute of like, well, that's why, or this is why. You know, I think when it comes down to it, especially the ones where it's surprising that it ended, it's typically because there was a misalignment from the beginning that people were trying to overcome. So one of the things that I always say to people when you're looking to get out there and you're looking to meet somebody is you have to align on values, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to be with you 30 years from now, when everything falls, you know, when the looks fade, when all of the things fade away, what are you going to be waking up next to? And so a lot of times it's that misalignment of values that we've kind of tried to overcome with chemistry. And then the other thing that I see is just that miscommunication. We communicate based on our emotions. We communicate based on our pain points and our traumas. And we don't understand, and we don't take the time to be self-aware enough to communicate in a way that can be productive. I believe truly that 99% of the things that can cause problems can be talked about if we're all self-aware enough and emotionally intelligent enough to work through it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been with my husband now for 11 years, and it's so interesting how much continuous adjustment and learning is required in a relationship. And it's really not just, okay, you meet someone, they're your match, they're your person, and they will be your person moving forward. It's like, okay, then you add in the stress of, okay, we go through financial stuff, we have to learn how to communicate about that. Then we have kids, and that's like a whole other thing that we have to learn to work through. So I feel like the beginning part is, it is chemistry and it is fun and it is kind of putting your best brand forward. But then, you know, you have to get into the harder stuff of, I don't know, how do you deal with when you get fired and you are kind of a jerk for a little bit because you're dealing with self-esteem issues? It's like, how do you deal with that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I love, there's a country song, I don't know if it's Bonnie Raitt or someone who's like that, it's sometimes love ain't enough, or, you know, and it's,
yeah,
the truth of the matter, as much as that's sad to say, it's naive to think that love is what's going to allow you to overcome everything. Yes, love provides the foundation to want to communicate and want to navigate through those waters, but there's so many things out there. And similarly, you know, I was married previously and was divorced, and I've been with my husband now for 7 years. And you know, it's just as we get older and wiser and more emotionally mature, it's so much easier to navigate these things as opposed to what I would have done when I was 25 and married for the first time, you know, and love is always there, but it's not going to help you get past some of the challenges if you don't have all those other elements in place.
Yeah, I try not to harp too much on this podcast. I'm like, in what way? Because I don't want people to listen to this and be like, oh, shoot, it's my fault because I didn't do all this kind of stuff. So I like to more focus it on moving forward. But what do you like if someone's looking at their relationship in hindsight, what are some things that they can reflect on of maybe ways that they didn't communicate their true self? Or what are some things that people can reflect on maybe moving forward that they can improve on in their next relationship?
I mean, I agree too. There's no need to cry over spilled milk and to berate yourself for things that were done and obviously had resulted in, a breakup. But I think it's so important. Self-awareness is everything. So really looking at the situation from a very bird's eye view of like, okay, did I communicate the best I could? Was I being authentic? Was I being kind? Was I being patient? And really looking at kind of those elements of where did it go wrong, but also looking at it with a very not that rose-colored glass, because I think that happens as well in breakups where you break up, you're a little bit lonely and you're like, it wasn't that bad, or they were so great, and all of a sudden a monster turns into like a prince, and that's not the case either. So I always implore people, I'm like, please look at things with realistic lenses. What did they do wrong? Maybe were attracting the wrong person, or maybe there's elements that it really created problems in that relationship, and be aware of that going into your next, but be aware of what you brought to the table as well. I think it's realism without actually just dwelling on it is so important.
I agree. I agree. And I feel like as time goes on, it's a lot easier to look at it objectively of, okay, they're not up on a pedestal, but they're also not the scum of the earth, just being able to see, okay, they're a human and we matched in certain ways and we didn't match in other ways. You mentioned, was I being authentic? I think the authenticity part is so important. And I'm just thinking back to my like relationship past of so many things that I didn't communicate because I thought I didn't have to, or I thought that if I communicate this, it's going to be too much. So I'm just going to hope that they can figure it out based on, I don't know, mind reading or whatever. I mean, I feel like it's very cliche, the whole mind reader thing, but it is. It can be scary to communicate your needs, and it can be scary, especially in the beginning, to think, okay, I don't want to scare this person off by making them believe that I'm high maintenance or I'm too much, but that's something that you can't just tuck away for 30 years. Eventually, something's going to give.
Yeah, I think there's a balance. I listen, naturally, everybody's going to put on, I like what you said, the best brand. Your brand is being shown in the best light, and it's about 18 to 24 months. Well, people think it's less than that, but no, it takes a while for those walls to come down, which is why I'm such a fan of slow and steady, like slow burn relationships.
So 18 to 24 months, can you feel like that's how long it takes to connect, truly connect with someone?
To be really showing all sides of yourself, to give that
Interesting.
time to let it all, be seen in an accurate light versus, I think back, I got engaged in 6 weeks for my first marriage. I was 25 years old. I was like, it's the dumbest thing ever because you
Your
just don't.
brain was like just developed.
Yeah, like I was a baby and I didn't know anything about myself nor them. And so you think about like how long it does take to get authentic in your relationship and to feel comfortable and to make sure that you feel secure enough. But yeah, I think it is a balance and it's still, I think it's important. Authenticity isn't, I'm going to be a maniac and they have to love me.
Totally. The whole like, if you can't handle me at my worst, then you can't have me at my best kind of thing.
Yeah, if you're showing me your worst intentionally, I don't want you. So,
Because usually that's like trying to test someone, which isn't the way you want to approach it
which
either.
is a complete lack of emotional intelligence and maturity. So, I'm going to call a spade like you have to balance out wanting to be real. It doesn't mean that you don't have bad days. I mean, I have days yesterday where I was like cranky and I'm like afterwards I actually said, "I'm sorry, honey." Like totally snapped at you for absolutely no reason, but I was cranky, and so we have those moments, but it's about balancing that out, but also still protecting the relationship of how self-awareness is everything. If I could boil it down to like this podcast could be 4 seconds long, I'd be like, what's the secret to success in relationships? And I'd be like, self-awareness.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting. And now, moving more towards someone who is looking to connect post breakup. And I really believe that it doesn't have like I'm not talking about dating right away, but just when someone is stripped of what they believe to be the most important connection they've ever had in their life. And some people will believe the most important connection they will ever have in their life. I hear that a lot of, I will never find that connection again. Let's start with not dating. How can people find connection with others so they don't feel that loneliness right after a breakup?
It's a really good thing to remind people of is that you can fill that bucket. Obviously, they're not going to fill all of the buckets, yeah. But you can fill a lot of the buckets that you're looking for with friendship. And so how can you start to lean in on the other relationships? And I think there was a study that showed like all we need is really one person that we can go to when times are bad, one person that we can go to when times are good, that one person. Now, we don't want to kind of overwhelm that person with our needs, but it's so important to understand that as, you know, a human being, you can find that fulfillment without really jumping back into the dating scene. You can really fill that bucket. And so I would just implore people to get out and make sure that you are keeping those other connections alive, because I see it all the time where people start to get into a relationship, they go into their bubble, and then they come back out. Like, where'd everybody go? And because you hadn't been nurturing those relationships. So try to maintain them as well, but reach back out.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note too that you will feel lonely if you don't have connections. You know, like you said, that's our purpose here on this earth. So saying that we can handle everything ourselves, and that's never going to be true. We weren't meant to live like that at all.
Yeah, 100%. Like there are very few people, and there's always going to be, I've always had people on social who are like, I don't need anybody. And I'm like, well, you're the only one I've met.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I believe it. I think sometimes it's a defense mechanism. And I'm sure there's someone out there that's completely content. You know, they're probably not listening to your podcast.
They probably live. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're definitely not a listener of this podcast.
Yeah, I think your people are probably understanding, like, I like connection.
This connection,
the end of this connection was painful. I might want another one. So.
Yeah. So when someone is moving in to dating, I think, again, not a dating expert, but I tend to see what happens is people will take this very intricate, long historical connection they have with their ex and kind of expect to find that with someone new. It obviously doesn't happen because that can't happen that quickly. And then they feel very discouraged and feel like, oh my gosh, I just lost my soulmate and my one true love, and I'm never going to achieve this again. What do you see in that regard?
Yeah, it's the expectations that we need to really get in check. I think it's understandable to see that after a breakup, or, you know, even see it after someone's lost a partner due to death, is where they're like, I want this again. And the most important thing is to release any expectations for any specific actions or type of person, and really focusing on, okay, what was that feeling that you had from your prior relationship that made you feel so good? And how can we search for that instead? And then release how it looks, how it shows up, how it makes your coffee, all of those other elements to allow that new relationship to unfold the way that it's meant to.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. This has been a tough year for me, adding my twin boys into my life, and there's one person that I owe a huge thank you to, and that's my best friend Alexis, who has been there for me every step of the way. This month is all about gratitude, and along with my best friend, I know there's one person I don't thank enough, and I would bet you don't either, and that's yourself. In all the craziness of life, especially in the midst of a breakup, it is so easy to ignore all of the incredible things that you're doing every single day and all of the amazing qualities that you have. Therapy has always been a great place for me to pause and reflect on the things I can appreciate about myself. It's also great to have an outside perspective who can see me in ways that I can't see myself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/heartbreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. You know what can make breakups even harder than they already are? PMS. I don't know about you, but my PMS gives me such bad anxiety, racing thoughts, and a lot of bloating, all of which is a recipe to make a breakup feel that much more intense. To help combat my PMS symptoms, I've been loving Estro Control by Happy Mammoth, a supplement company dedicated to making women's lives easier. Estro Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health, especially in women who suffer from PMS. I was so interested to learn how this supplement worked. It actually helps support the liver, which is where hormones are processed. And when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, that's what causes those awful PMS symptoms. So to help combat your PMS symptoms, I highly recommend Estro Control so you're not robbed of a week of your life every single month. Not fair. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEARTBREAK for 15% off today. As the season changes and I'm going from t-shirts to sweaters, I'm happy that my sunglasses can quickly change looks too with Pair Eyewear. Pair Eyewear offers infinite possibilities for both glasses and sunglasses, starting at just $60, including your prescription. Plus, you get 15% off by using code HEARTBREAK at PairEyewear.com. While I don't wear glasses, I've been loving my sunglasses. Having a big head and wider face makes it difficult for me to find frames that I love, and with Pair's virtual try-on, I fell in love with the Quinn frames. And now with fall in full swing, I have been using my tortoise top frames to change up my look. Top frames start at just $25, so you can switch up your look as often as you want. Fall into a new routine with infinite possibilities from Pair Eyewear. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code HEARTBREAK for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that Heal Your Heartbreak sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code HEARTBREAK. And going back to what you were saying about the 18 to 24 months thing, I'm sure the feelings aren't going to be there right away, it takes time. Anything you're feeling. Yeah. In the beginning, it would just be chemistry.
Yes. And chemistry is amazing. Obviously, we want people to have chemistry with their partners, but we also want to make sure that there's something underneath of it because chemistry fades, you know, and it wanes and it comes back. And, you know, you want to make sure that there's that really underlying ability for companionship, you know, if you're really looking for a long-term relationship that's there as well.
Yeah. And what is your advice for people that, I mean, are shy and are afraid to put themselves out there? Maybe they, you know, a lot of people, it's okay, I've been with my partner for 10 years. I haven't had to get out there and I've had the same friends for 10 years. What do you recommend for people who are not starting fresh, but in some ways starting fresh on connecting?
Yeah. And things have changed a lot in 10 years. I mean,
yeah.
Nowadays it really is. I know, you know, I work with STIR, so I'm partial to app dating, but app dating is it, you know, that is like there's apps and then there's in person. And so first, I think it's just really kind of taking that baby step back into, oh, this is a different world than I left, you know, when I was dating before. And then really just giving yourself permission to take it slow, I think is the best thing. And, you know, this is going to sound so Pollyanna, but it really is how I feel, is really maintaining that hope, you know, go back into the game when you really feel like there is hope attached to it. And I think that's something that's so important because I've seen people get back into dating too soon and they're heartbroken and you can feel it and you can see it. I can read it in what they write in their profile. Like all of these things are so evident. So give yourself time. You don't have to force yourself into it, but when you're ready and there's that glimmer of hope of like, wow, I could really meet somebody again, then just baby step it. You know, you don't have to go on 4 dates a week, you know, as soon as you start back out there.
Yeah. And what I've told people is, one of the ways I feel like people can know if they're ready to date is if the first date doesn't go well, you can picture the first date not going well and it's not completely devastating because, you know, some of it is we kind of have to expect that there might be a bad date mixed in there. And if that's going to be the end of the world, then it might not just be time to start.
Yeah. Bad dates are going to happen. You could be the best dater in the world and you're still going to be like, wait a second, I expected more out of this. It happens. But yeah, you're 100% right on that.
So let's say they meet someone online, they're starting to feel that connection. And then all of a sudden it turns into this, oh my gosh, this is really scary to connect. Like I just went through this, I connected, I got heartbroken. And now they did find a connection, but it's scary. And they, you know, I hear a lot of people, I don't want to self-sabotage. I don't want to pull out of this just because I'm scared to get hurt again. Do you have any advice for people who are going through that?
Yeah, which is such a natural reaction to be like, wait a second, we're in survival mode at that point. Your body's doing it to you because it's like, wait a second, we did this before.
Yeah, we've been here. I didn't like it.
Yes, yeah. Abort mission. Yeah. But it kind of goes back to what I was saying before about self-awareness is when you know that, you know, the fear that you're feeling is likely because of you're afraid of getting hurt again, that allows you to push through it. And I think that's part of it is you have to continue to take the steps forward, even when you don't want to call them back or you don't want to go on that next date, you force yourself to take that next step. And what happens with our brain is that we eventually prove ourselves right or wrong. And so you can prove yourself right by fearing and walking away and be like, whew, good thing we took care of that, kids. Or you can prove yourself wrong by saying, wow, I was continuing to get to know this person. It doesn't hurt. And it doesn't mean, listen, I heard the most, it's so heartbreaking, but it's like all relationships end at some point, you know?
Yeah, through one way or another.
Yeah, like it's the most heartbreaking thing I think about. Like my husband, I was like, I want us to live forever. I know we won't though. At some point, this is going to hurt. But if it hurts, it means that it was beautiful and it hurts because it was so great. And so would I give up 40 years of love because I know at some point this is going to be painful? No way.
Yeah, it's scary to think about it in that way, but it's so true. And I think that does hopefully take some of the, I guess the not the stigma, but just the how scary it is to have a relationship end. Because if we think about it, like we look back on friendships that have ended and, you know, you switch jobs, so you lose colleagues who you get super close with. Like there are so many relationships that ebb in and out of our lives. And obviously the romantic ones are the most impactful, but it's not worth losing out on connecting or losing out on your own happiness because we're nervous it could end at some point.
Yeah, 100%. If you're looking at the ledger, you know, that balance sheet, I think it's you win just because of how much joy it can bring you. So I think it's feeling that fear and doing it anyway.
So let's talk about single moms. I think this is such a cool, so this is something that you've been talking about is, and I hear it all the time of how scary moms feel to start dating again for a variety of different reasons. Can you talk through maybe some of the stereotypical reasons that a mom would feel nervous to start dating again?
Sure. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons, obviously, that and similar to the ones we just talked about, because typically a single mom's coming out of some sort of dissolution of a relationship, a marriage. And so getting back out there, it's all the same things, but it's with an extra added benefit of a baby or a child. And so you have other people to think about. And so, you know, it's figuring out how do I prioritize? How do I take the time? How do I make sure that, you know, I always used to say is like when I was a single parent, I'd be like, are they babysitter worthy? You know, is this worthwhile investing to go out on a date with someone? And so there's a lot of kind of generalized reasons why it can be a little tricky, but there's also really cool things. You know, it's some of the things that we study at STIR is really just how much single parents really know what they're looking for. They're really elevating kind of what they expect out of a relationship. So while it may be a little trickier in terms of scheduling and really managing things, they're up-leveling kind of their expectations and their communication and really setting this stage for if they do end up in a relationship, it's going to be a good one because they wanted more out of it.
I think that's such an important point. I've been telling my friends the biggest cure I've ever had to people pleasing is having a child because it's like you have someone else to think about in that regard. So you're not going to mess around with someone who doesn't treat you right, or you are very much up leveled in that. I just think about what my filter would be like if I was dating with my kids, and I would be much not even pickier, but just more discerning. And I know people are concerned in that way that the pool might be smaller, but I don't necessarily know if that matters if you're, you know, it's not like you're looking for 25 people to date. It's just we're looking at a smaller pool of probably much better candidates.
Agreed. Yeah. You don't have to be on The Bachelor or The Bachelor.
Yeah.
You know, going on 25 dates a week, you're really being more discerning. And that's what we've seen in the data is that they're more discerning in terms of who they're choosing, who they're staying with. You know, they have clear pictures of really what they want out of a partner because it takes time away from your child. And so it has the potential of becoming something significant, but also, you know, is it worth that, you know, sacrifice in that moment. So you're just looking at it completely differently.
Yeah. Do you guys have any data on, I just know people sometimes feel like, I hate to use the word baggage, but I feel like people who are dating feel like they have baggage because they have a child with someone else. And so maybe they're afraid that people won't, they just feel like they're very stigmatized. Do you guys have any data on maybe partners being more open to dating someone with kids?
Yeah, I definitely believe that there's been a shift towards that. One of the, you know, the things that we studied in this recent survey was the misconceptions that people have. And so, you know, I think the more that we can kind of eradicate those, the better. But it's, you know, single parents don't have time to date. That was 34% of people. Their life must be complicated, 32%, or they're looking for a co-parent over that romantic relationship, which is 32% as well. And so those are the misconceptions that I think that a lot of single parents are faced with. But I also think those are all really easy things to be like, this isn't real. You know, like, yeah, I'm not looking for a replacement dad or mom. You know, I have the time, but obviously it has to be scheduled. And, you know, I think it's kind of up to us to communicate through all of those. But those are kind of those things that are out there. And I, you know, is, but it makes sense, right? I think, especially if you're not a parent. I know when I was a single parent, I dated I had a significant relationship with two people who didn't have kids. And so it was educating them of like, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I can do. And also setting those boundaries of like, this works, this doesn't work. And so there is probably a little bit more responsibility on a single parent dating.
Yeah. I mean, I 100%. And I feel like there's this stigma that maybe single dads have an easier time dating than single moms. Do you feel like that's true?
You know, I definitely think that's shifting, but I've seen that, you know, where it's kind of like there's a better schedule or, you know, but I think that has shifted so much where, I mean, my gosh, if we looked 20 years ago or 30 years ago, the dads were like, I mean, it was normal for a dad to have his kid like 2 weekends a month and that's it. And so
yeah,
he's got a lot of time. And that's just not the case as much nowadays. And so there has been such a shift in gender roles. And really, I think that's shifted into custody as well. So I think there might be a misconception, but you know, I know a lot of dads out there, they got 50%. They're in it.
Just, yeah.
You know, they're in the thick of it just as much. And so I think you assume that and let them explain whatever their situations are. I always said it was you know, when STIR was first being developed, I was like, gosh, I was like, can we like upload custody schedules? Because it's so, yeah. You know what I mean? That's such a huge part of it. I mean, not to say that you can't get babysitters, but it's such a huge part of like, when are you free? And what does that schedule look like?
Yeah. I think too, the shift in, it used to be so, and probably still is a little bit, but it used to be so taboo for a woman to be older than a man in a relationship. But I do feel like that is changing a lot, which is, you know, which is great. So I feel like at one point, maybe people thought men had a bigger dating pool because they could date a lot younger. I feel like that's changing.
Yes. She taught us.
I know, which I just saw they just broke up. Did you see that?
Sorry. Shocked.
But that was like a great example.
Yeah, I was like, she's beautiful and young and vibrant and has kids and he's young and kidless and they, you know, they had a good time. And yeah, I think that is completely shifted. You know, I do think, especially I could talk about them, but mostly just, you know, when you get too far apart in terms of what we started this conversation was the values of like, where are your priorities? Yes. You know, where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? Where do you stress? And if you are aligned on those things, you're probably going to go the distance. So it doesn't matter what age you are, but I have a feeling they probably didn't have the same priorities in every aspect.
Yeah. Can you state those four things again? You said what you stress about, what you spend money on.
Yeah, what you spend money on, what you spend your energy on and your time on, where you prioritize and where you stress over.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like that covers most things that you encounter in a long-term relationship. My last question on the single mom topic is, how do you encourage people to, I just feel like it's so easy to just get stuck in the, you know, I'm a mom, but there's so much more. Like when you're dating before you have kids, you're talking about all the things that you value and you enjoy. And obviously being a mom takes up so much time, but how do you encourage people to really connect with what else they bring to the table besides being a mom?
You know, that's something even for moms who are in relationships, that it's Oh, important. My gosh. I mean, I see it, as I see moms who the kids start to leave and go to college, and they're like, who am I? What do I do now? Because I've given my whole life for this human, which is so amazing and so just such a noble profession. But I think it's so important from the human standpoint to be like, I still have desires. I still have things I like to do. And so that's just as important as ever, but especially during those conversations. If you don't have a hobby, go get one. Like, have something to talk about, have some sort of other elements of your personality, because yes, being a mom is a huge part of it, but like, you have to have that multifaceted just approach. Or, where does someone fit in then? Because if everything is about your child, then there's no space for them. So it really does create space, but it also is preservation for anyone out there who has kids of like, eventually those little suckers, they leave you. If you've done a good job, they're out at some point.
Yeah, no, and
Actually, I should take that back too. If you've done a good job, sometimes they still come back.
yes, they leave, but then they regularly come
I
back.
was like, there's a lot of people I know. I was like, we have one that's back right now. I was like, why are you still here?
Yes. I love it, but why?
Yeah, like, I love you so much.
And I think a breakup's like a great time to okay, let me maybe I do have some time now that I didn't have before. My kids are with my ex. What are some things that I can? I follow this one girl on Instagram and she'd post a lot about being a single mom and she joined an adult dance team and it's been very cool to see her like evolution in real time of finding things that she loves outside of relationships or, being a parent.
No, it's so important. There's so many things out there. My gosh, like, I always think, my God, if I had more time, I would have a lot more hobbies. I mean, I have some solid ones now, but I think it's just so important. We're so multifaceted.
Okay. And my last question is for people that are, let's say, I mean, looking to connect out in the world, like maybe people just want to be someone who is more connected with others. What are some things that you encourage or what are some tips you have for people that when they're just going through the world, how can they be more connective?
Well, this is going to sound cliche and I'm going to sound old, but this has got to go. Like,
Yeah, she's pointing to her phone.
yeah, I have a phone. Sorry. I'm miming. But
I feel like people could figure it out just based
put the
on,
phone down
but.
because I see this all the time. So I travel alone oftentimes for work. And I see it in the wild where you're walking through the airport, you're in a Starbucks, you're everywhere that you could be making connections and you're on your phone. There's so much that can happen when you look up and you make eye contact with people and just open yourself up to that possibility and set that intention. I'm a huge fan of really the power of intention. And I think the more that we create an intention of, I'm going to be open to making connections wherever I go. And then all of a sudden, we're able to kind of facilitate that more easily because, that's what's in the back of our head. But yeah, put the phone down. I sound like my mother.
No, but I mean, I think it is really true. And I spend a lot of time at parks these days, but it is really, it's very interesting. I see so many parents, I know they're they're getting their little break while the kids play on the park, but it is very interesting to see, like, when I go into it saying, okay, I'm like open to talking to other parents, how much more of an enjoyable experience it is just being able to meet other people or even just going for walks in the neighborhood and like kind of slowly getting to know your neighbors in that regard. It's just, I know for me, I feel so much more joyful and hopeful when I approach a place where I feel connected or at least I'm open to connecting.
And at the end of the day, you can get a lot of that when you are on your phone, when you're on social media, if you're looking to meet somebody, obviously app dating. But if you're out in the world and that's not, this is something you're looking to do, it's a really beautiful thing to see like how quickly you can start to reconnect in person.
And I always try to remind myself, most people are looking to make friends and most people are looking to make connections. I think we believe that everyone is closed off, but I know so many people that I talk to want to make friends as adults and they're looking for that. And so operating under that assumption versus no one wants to talk to me is makes such a big difference.
Yeah, 100%.
And then lastly, can you tell us a little bit about Stir?
Sure. Yeah. Stir is actually an app that's really focused on single parents dating. So you're in the same boat, you know, you don't have to have that weird conversation. And so it's really intended to facilitate those connections to really help parents really find someone who understands who they are and what they're going through.
Amazing. Amazing. And then, sorry, lastly, can you tell us a little bit about your book?
Yeah. Relatable is my first book. I'm working on Relatable Leader right now. I just finished the first pass of the manuscript. So
that's big.
Yeah. So
congrats.
It's all about connection. So it's how to connect with anyone, anywhere, even if it scares you. So we really cover a lot of social anxiety and overcoming those situations and really building confidence in all of our connections.
Amazing. Well, I will link Stir and your book in the show notes, but thank you so much for coming on, Rachel. It's been, pun intended, great connecting with you.
Great connecting with you as well. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.